BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Monday's Scott Mills Daily starts now. Our listener Lottie has a real problem with picking up other people's accents. Do you or did you sniff jumpers at school? And what is the only thing that Chris has bought for his new house? Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. Hiya, Chris.
Hiya.
Hiya, right? Love. Yeah, how was your weekend?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Busy.
Yeah.
It feels like I've done a lot of stuff on a to-do list this weekend.
Yeah. I did a bit of DJing for Team GB in the Olympic Park.
I saw.
On Friday.
Do you know why you were doing that?
Yes, it was the opening of the fan zone in the Olympic Park, where people can go and watch on big screen.
And the Olympics are now go, go, go.
Yeah, they're on, yeah. I'm aware of that, yes.
Yeah, no, I just wasn't sure if... No, because sometimes
I'm not
sure...
Do you think I was 4 years too late?
No, I just... Yeah, sometimes I'm not sure exactly where you're at with knowing what's actually going on. I know sometimes you can get wheeled into these situations. You'll do an amazing job there, of course, but you might not know actually what you're there for.
No, I'm all over it. I think you'll find I'm a Team GB ambassador.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you're supporting Team GB
in Rio,
where the Olympics are right now.
But this was in London. We had some fireworks. Then it started raining. The DJing was outside. So I don't know if you saw on my Instagram. We had to cover the DJ decks in bubble wrap, which was a first for me.
Yeah.
So I was still using the buttons, but through the bubble wrap, which is a new one.
It's mad to think that 4 years ago, one of the greatest shows on earth, In that same area.
Right, and then
do
what
you're
saying?
No, but what I mean is it was so brilliantly coordinated.
Yeah, all right.
One of the greatest things. In fact, there's that show on iPlayer, I think it's still on there, all about how they created the Olympics and how they managed to do it all. Amazing show that, but, you know, years of work ahead of that. And then 4 years later, you're there with bubble wrap on the decks.
Yeah, I know. Some of the original dancers, though, and people that were in the opening ceremony turned up. Some miners turned up. It was good. Yeah, we had a great time.
Good fun. So the decks were protected. That was the main thing.
They were. The rain was not getting to them.
And did you bring the bubble wrap with you?
No, it was provided. And you did... Well, you've moved into a new house, haven't you?
Oh, mate, I've been full of bubble wrap.
Have you?
Yeah. I've moved into a house, but I don't really know what to do from here on in.
Yeah, you need some advice with that. Now, okay, can I just check... Have you, you've got nothing, have you really?
I've got like one or two things.
Okay, what have you, okay, I'll do a checklist. Do you have a sofa?
No.
Do you have a bed?
No.
Do you have any chairs or any furniture of any kind?
Not yet. No, I haven't, but I've fashioned a chair out of a box.
Okay, but tell everyone, what was the first thing you bought?
I've got two things in the house at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a dartboard and I've got a barbecue.
Right, and you just bought the barbecue, right? So before buying a sofa or a bed, you bought a barbecue. Why?
Because I can use that as an oven for now.
Well,
obviously,
you can't.
Outside,
you can't always barbecue.
Not using it in the house.
You
obviously.
Can't always barbecue, though.
So I'm kind of set up in that sense. Mm. I've got food. I've got water. The water's working now.
Right. And when you bought the barbecue, what was the first thing your girlfriend said?
She's not keen.
No, I can imagine. That's such a boy thing to do.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
I was in Birmingham at the weekend for a little bit.
Good times?
Yeah, just for a little night out. Love Birmingham. Everyone's so friendly. Love a bit of Brum, I do. Really do. Shout out to the lady in the shop on Saturday afternoon. Went up to her. You know, recently I've been getting... I shouldn't say this. Well, you know, recently you have sometimes been asking me for a bit of my tinted moisturiser.
I've not been saying that.
A little bit.
I've not been saying that.
You have.
No,
it makes your skin tone even. And
no.
No, hang on. You did once.
No, I didn't. What I said to you was, can we have an agreement here where you... Because basically, before we get filmed to do anything, you go and get yourself tanned more.
Mm.
And my point is then that makes me look even more ridiculous. So... The agreement I wanted to have with you is just don't go and get a tan before anything's filmed. You'll still look more tanned because you'll be next to me.
Mate, I'm sure that you've asked to borrow my tinted moisturizer.
But what you do is you then go and get tanned. So I then have to, as an emergency situation, borrow some of that hazy spray stuff to try and bridge the gap a little bit.
The tinted moisturizer, which you just said that you didn't use categorically.
Oh, I don't know what it's called.
Anyway, so I wanted to get some new stuff in Birmingham when I was having a bit of a shopping trip on Saturday. And this is the trouble with when you like play pranks on people all the time on the radio. So I go up and I'm like, have you got any tinted moisturizer that would be suitable for men? And she went, I think she knew that it was me. And she was like, are you having me on? And then I just had to run off. Are you having me on or what?
Is that, like, something, okay. Is that something controversial to ask?
No, not really, I don't think. The Scott Mills Daily. So last Friday, me and Chris interviewed two of Hollywood's biggest stars, Will Smith and Margot Robbie. So we sat down with them. It was a very slightly intimidating posh hotel.
It always is with the movie ones.
And as we were walking up the very grand staircase, Chris was like, well, this is not like the ETAP.
No, it's like the staircase from the Titanic. That's what it looked like.
It was Titanic-ish, wasn't it?
But we were dressed up smart for once, so sort of played the part.
Yeah, I felt good, you know, when I rocked up in my suit. Because you know me, normally a T-shirt and shorts kind of person. Mm. But I'm glad we made the effort. Anyway, we were there in this hotel to talk about their latest movie, Suicide Squad. And as expected, they were brilliant. And obviously Will Smith, one of the most famous people in the world. Surely everybody has heard of, like, the thing that made him a star, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, right? No.
Margot wasn't born until 2 years after the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air came on.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So, that you know, it makes our discussions a little awkward. Right. You know, frame of reference a little askew.
You must have seen it, though, right?
I haven't actually.
No.
I know.
So you don't know about all the references that come from that as well?
No.
And one day on set, Will mentioned Jazzy Jeff, and I was like,
tragedy.
And I was like,
tragedy.
Who? Okay. I thought, like, is that a crew guy, like, on our set now?
All tragedy.
No idea, but I like it that she's obviously good enough friends with him to go, no, I haven't seen it.
I noticed that last week, that he was answering a lot for her at times.
Yeah.
They've got a great relationship.
Obviously, I couldn't let the interview finish without reminding Will about something amazing that he sent me back in the day when I first interviewed him, a long time ago. The last time I chatted with you was probably about 10 years ago.
Wow.
And a couple of weeks later, you sent me a note saying how much you enjoyed the chat on Will Smith headed notepaper.
Wow.
I know. So I wanted to say thank you.
Yeah,
I've
succeeded now, so I don't do stuff like that anymore.
And Margie,
that was a joke.
Margie, Margie, you
sounded really mean, Will.
But thank you. It was a nice gesture.
No. Yeah, that's cool. You know, I like to do things like that when I enjoy my time with someone.
And hey, you know what? You can send texts these days.
Don't be like that.
I love her. So sassy. Right, so we did a brilliant interview, which is online. You can get that again, the whole thing. But we also convinced them to do something incredible. We convinced Will Smith and Margot Robbie to record a game of our playground insults. Now, this is where we sit two massive famouses opposite each other. They stare each other out and they just swap silly insults until one of them laughs. Remember we did it with Seth Rogen and Chloe Grace Moretz.
Your butt stinks, and you have a butt freshener on set at all times. I've met her. Her name's Sharon. She just sprays your butt with floral scents all day long. Your chair is padded with floral cushions. And they pad your wardrobe as to not alert the other actors.
Of
your butt stink.
My butt stink. Stank, really. The butt stank.
I didn't want to go there, Moretz.
Moretz.
But I did.
I did.
So we did that one. 3.7 million people watched it. This one, I'm telling you, is even better. I'm saying it's the best one yet. I walked out of that room going, that's the best one we've done yet.
Yeah, I'm proper buzzing for it. We've only done this twice before. So with Chloe Grace Moretz and Seth Rogen, of course, Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, we did it with them.
I'm saying it's better than both of those, though.
I completely agree.
And you will be able to hear the thing and watch the entire thing later this week. So, they said some things that we do need to clear with their people first. But it's happening this week. We'll get it cleared and you will get a game of playground insults, which you'll be able to hear on Radio 1 and you'll be able to watch online. You do not want to miss this. We'll have it for you later in the week.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Someone called V messaged me on Twitter.
Hello, V.
Hello, V. And she basically put, saw this and thought of you, Chris Stark. Is this why you sniff socks? Because you know you've got this sort of thing about me sniffing socks.
Yeah,
right?
Well, anyway, that's what you do, isn't it? Such a rep now.
But anyway, it's a link to this tweet from this guy who's basically saying, do you remember at primary school when you'd lose your jumper and there'd be a big bundle of jumpers in the middle of the playground.
Yes.
And you and your mates would kind of go through them by sniffing them to work out whose is whose.
Yeah, that is true. I remember that.
So do I, right? And I mentioned this in the office and said, I think I used to do this when I was at school. You'd sniff jumpers to work out what's yours and what's your mate's.
Well, obviously, that's where it started all those years ago.
They all think I'm mad. Like, honestly, Scott, three or four people in the office turned around to me and just went, nope. I don't know what you're talking about.
Never did that. Did anyone do that? Or was it just me and him?
Are we making it up? Because I'm sure that's how we used to distinguish between jumpers. It was the sort of frayed edges on the sleeves.
Yes.
And then you would sniff it to work out who's it.
But yes, I remember sniffing the sleeves.
But then I don't know why I would have done that, because I wouldn't have been wearing aftershave. So how did we distinguish whose smell was who?
I'm sure you had a very distinctive smell. I don't know. Like, let's see. But no one in the office knew about that, no?
Well, just the people around me. I was like, listen, I used to do this. I used to sniff jumpers to work out whose is who, and they think it's hilarious.
So you moved from jumpers... When did you move into the socks?
Well, let's say there was a huge bundle of jumpers for goalposts.
Yeah.
You'd pick one of those up and you'd be sniffing
it.
And then, like, there's your jumper, Scott. Here it goes, smells of you.
Yeah. Do you think that's seriously where the sock thing came from?
I don't know.
Hopefully somebody will... Like, just one person is all we need to say that we're not actually going mad.
I just want to know that it's normal. The Scott
Mills Daily. Chris, it looks like we're not mad. The sniffing is still on. Steph!
Hi, Scott.
What's going on?
Well, I'm a teacher in primary school, and I can absolutely confirm that parents don't need to put name tags in jumpers because children sniff them to identify theirs.
Wow. Still on.
Still on now.
Yep.
We're getting hundreds of, if not thousands of messages from people right now saying, oh my God, I remember this too. This is what happened. Standard playground procedure to find jumpers.
Do you think it's because it's the smell of your house, the smell of you, or the fabric conditioner that your mum used?
I don't know. It must be a mix. I mean, the age of the children I teach, they're not even old enough to, you know, have like a kind of teenagey smell.
Yeah.
So it must be something else.
Yeah, everyone's got their own smell though. But
yeah.
You did know exactly what jumper was what, even if you'd used them as goalposts for football, by going up and just going, a good old sniff there.
Yeah, the main point here, Scott, we're not mad. The Scott Mills
Daily. Did you hear any bit of Radio 1 in Ibiza over the weekend?
Yeah. Oh. All of Saturday was amazing.
Yeah, Saturday was tuned.
Just the build-up to Danny was awesome.
Yeah. So on Friday night, Annie Mac's show came live from Ushuaia, and then... It was basically the entire Radio 1 DJ family just going back to back all night. Friday night was excellent, I think. Pictures and all the stuff that happened online. I know there's a few broken people who are on their way back right now listening, like Will and also Gemma and Helen and Mark, who are feeling a little bit meh, but said they had an incredible time. Saturday, Danny Howard and Mr. Jam broadcast from Ibiza's Sunset Strip, so it was from Cafe Mambo. That is a really special place. And the special guests were on. They had Martin Solvig, Disciples, KDA, Dizzy Rascal, Katie B, John Newman, Monkey, and Mr. Jam's very special guest, Craig David. Like, it's the weekend of the year where every single famous that is relevant to Ibiza comes to be part of the Radio 1 weekend. It's legendary.
Yeah, it was just a massive weekend. And even for people like such established, well-known DJs as Mr. Jam, when you see him getting really emotional about this weekend and his performance out there, it just shows you how powerful this weekend is and how massive it really is.
Really is. Radio 1 on Ibiza, you can catch up on every single one of these performances on the BBC iPlayer radio app. The Scott Mills Daily. Radio 1, did you see any of the opening ceremony?
We should have been doing the commentary for it, Scott.
I saw you tweet that, actually. I was thinking as I was watching it, doing alternative commentary like we did for the Euros would be awesome for this. What would we comment on, though?
The opening ceremony.
Right. But then after that, Taekwondo, maybe.
Yeah.
Something I know even less about than I do football. The Scott Mills Daily. Earlier, we were talking about how at school you did used to sniff jumpers to see which one was yours, if they were all in a pile. If we thought it was just us at first, but then thousands of people were on going, nope. That still happens. Teachers were on going, yeah, all my year 7s and 8s do it, they just smell them.
There's no real reason why either, because it's not like you're wearing aftershave or anything at that age, but you could just, yeah, you could just sniff them out.
Every house has got a different smell, though. But now there's some girls on who were in their 20s who play netball every Monday night. Wasn't that a thing at Radio 1 for a while?
That was a thing for a while.
It used to annoy you a bit.
There was... Oh, I can't quite remember what annoyed me about it.
Yeah, I just seem to remember it annoyed you. There was a Radio 1 netball team for a while.
There was a brief... Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
There was some kind of point of annoyance, but I'm sure someone will remind us in a second.
Yeah, I think it all went on the air.
I've got to be careful because I think it was my girlfriend was part of this team.
Oh, she was!
Because I think it wasn't just a Radio 1 thing. I think there was there was different people.
Different companies.
And either way, there was some kind of annoyance.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Someone will tell us. Because people know more about our show than we can remember. Anyway, they're all in their 20s. Every Monday night, they put all their hoodies down and then they do sniff them to figure out who's a who's at the end of the night. So it still happens in your 20s.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
Where are you at the moment?
I'm in Cornwall.
Okay, what are you doing there? Do you live there or are you on vacation?
No, we're on vacation.
Okay, yeah. Holiday starts now. What's the weather like? Yeah.
Not too good, actually. I'm quite cold, so...
Holiday in Britain, cold shock.
I know.
But
I'm having a baby.
I'm sure it'll get better.
Cornwall is lush, though. It's like one of the best places in Britain, I think. Beaches are nice. You'll have a good time. Who are you with?
I'm with my partner, Brian, and my two sons, Logan and Dexter.
Hiya. Hey. We're all in the car now. How long have you been in the car for?
Yeah. 3 hours today.
From where?
We've come from Lowestoft. So.
Oh, yeah, far.
Yeah,
but
you sound like you're buzzing for the car journey right now, but I think this will help.
I hope so.
So this is what I've got as my offering to you today, Ellie.
LaRue, of course.
It's a good song.
Where has LaRue gone?
Where are you, LaRue?
Where are you now?
Yes. So I've got that, Bulletproof by LaRue. Or Chris.
Or Ellie, you can have this. Sub Focus, Tidal Wave.
Oh, yeah. Good. Totally forgotten about this.
Exactly, not heard this for a while, right?
Two different but excellent choices. I wouldn't know what to do if I was you, Ellie.
Well, it is a
I'd be all stressed
decision.
Out. Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask the car what they're going for.
Oh.
One or two?
She's asking a friend.
One or two? Hello.
One. We're going to go with Scott.
No, hang on. Who's deciding that?
Yeah, a bit in the room.
Thank you. James just reminded me that she was the daughter of someone off of The Bill. June Ackland there.
Shout out
to June Ackland. Oh, I miss The Bill a bit, do you?
Not really.
Oh, I do.
What do you miss about it?
Oh, I was in it once.
You...
As a policeman.
You were, yeah. That's another one of those things that's on YouTube somewhere that I'm sure you can find, Scott Mills Bill.
Yeah, it's along not with, as good as... yeah, all right, I know what you're going to say.
Along with your... I preferred you when you played a policeman in Hollyoaks. And stay away from them bad boys.
We were all losers there. Terrible choices, both of them.
Oh, don't read those messages. Listen, every time we do bangers, one of those types of text comes in.
There's loads. Nobody won today. Oh. Both rubbish.
Well, maybe today,
then. I was happy with that. LaRue, Bulletproof, bangers, back tomorrow, 2:40.
BBC Radio 1.
Some amazing stories coming in from you guys at the moment, I've got to say. Please keep them coming in to scott.mills@bbc.co.uk because I want to share them with the nation. Whatever it is, whatever story, maybe about you or your mates or your family, whatever it is, something that's happened to you maybe, even if you think, nah, they won't care about that, I will. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Send me an email. I always want to get these stories on the show. Hi, Lottie.
Hiya.
Right, so you emailed me about something that happens to you a lot, didn't you?
Yeah, it's an ongoing problem I have, for sure.
What is it?
I take on people's accents if I'm nervous.
How do you mean?
So if I, you know, I'm talking to somebody, I've got quite a strong regional accent, and I will, without knowing I'm doing it, start to pick up on it a little bit.
Right. See, I think I do this a bit too.
I think everyone does this a bit, don't they, Scott?
I feel that I do it more than most, and I found myself doing it again, like, with Will, like, Smith on, like, Friday. Like, you start, like, talking, like, American, am I right?
Yeah, well, there's a legitimate thing. It's called, like, accent convergence or something similar.
Accent what?
Convergence.
Oh.
It's like, so you converge to somebody's speak habits so that you make them feel more comfortable around you, I think.
I definitely did this when we were in France, Scott. I remember we were in France for the Euros. Do you not remember when the waiter would come over and my French was poor, so I'd talk in English, but it was English with a sort of French twang.
Yeah. You're like,
I'd like le beer, please.
Yeah.
But with more of a French thing, it'd be like, I'd like le beer,
please. You say le beer. So when's it happened to you, Lottie?
I've noticed it's particularly bad when I'm nervous.
Okay. Give me an example.
So I had a job interview last year and something really terrible happened.
What do you mean?
So I walked into the room and the receptionist had a really strong Irish accent.
Irish?
And really, really stereotypical Irish accent, yeah.
Okay. And she was the receptionist of the place where you're having the job interview?
Yeah, at the head office there, yeah.
Okay.
And so she said, hi, are you Lottie? Take a seat. So I sat down and then the lady came out. He was going to be conducting my interview and said, hello, how are you? And I replied in the most strong Irish accent you've ever heard.
Do it for me now.
No, I can't. I've got a massive block about it. I can't physically do an Irish accent anymore.
So you can't do it now?
No, because I ended up getting the job after an hour-long interview with her. Turns out she was my boss, and I did the job for 4 months with an Irish accent, but, like, completely fake Irish accent.
No, you didn't!
And is this all because the receptionist had an Irish accent? Or did your boss have an Irish accent as well?
No, she didn't. She was Portuguese, I think. So thank goodness I didn't take up Portuguese halfway through.
What happened in the job interview?
So we sat down and she was like, you look very Irish, because I'm quite pale and I have very dark, long hair. My mum always said that I look like a member of Bewitched.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I kind of went with it. I couldn't really do 20 minutes Irish and then go, oh, that was not me, by the way. That was a mistake. That was weird.
Yeah, from the second you started doing an Irish accent, you had to commit.
I couldn't go back on it.
But
yeah.
You didn't think it through because you did it just because you were nervous, which is incredible. But then if you get the job, which you did, you're stuck with it.
Yeah, so I had to kind of create this entire fake Irish childhood.
No!
Yeah. I did so much research into it. I kind of did, like, looked into names. I give my fake Irish relative. So I actually used to watch Irish TV shows to kind of pick up on slang and location names. I drop in, like, place I've been on holiday as a child and stuff like that.
What shows would you watch?
Homes Under the Hammer, when they were set in Ireland.
So to maintain the accent at your job every day, you would watch Irish Homes Under the Hammer?
Yeah, so I could pick up on kind of local slang and kind of areas of interest and stuff.
This is so good.
This is mad.
Has it happened with any other accent?
Yeah, it has actually. About a month and a half ago, I had a phone interview and the lady on the phone was Australian.
Yeah.
And I picked up, so I talked, like, chatting away to her, and she went, oh, are you Australian as well? That's fantastic. I love it. I want some more Australian kind of staff members.
So you just went with it?
Yeah, so it was just an awful experience.
So you said you were Australian?
No, I said I'm definitely not Australian. I can't have this happening again.
Yeah. Twice would be bad.
Yeah, I did so much research into Ireland, I couldn't do it again for Australia.
And could you do an Australian accent now?
I guess so.
Go on then.
Yeah, she was like, oh, you're Australian too? And I was like, no, I'm not Australian. I don't know why, it's terrible.
So we could, like, speak Australian to each other now, it'd be great.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, nice.
How are you going?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate.
Yeah, you can do it.
She's like a shapeshifter. She just takes the form of whoever's in front of her. Scott, do another accent. See if you can copy it.
I can't do accents.
On your last day of the first job, where you were doing Irish, did you come out at the end of it? Did you say, you know, by the way, I'm not Irish? Or did you just kind of finish with the Irish accent?
So I ran away as an Irish girl and never looked back.
Okay, right. So they still think you're Irish?
Yeah, to this day they think I'm Irish, yeah.
This reminds me, there's someone who is married to someone really, really, really famous that I know. And she used to be in an American soap opera for 4 years. And they were looking for an Italian character in this American soap opera. So she went in and did the full interview as an English-speaking Italian. And she got the job on this soap opera for 5 years. And every single day went into that show. And everyone on the crew thought she was Italian.
No.
And
she, yeah, she filmed in Italian. She would turn up for work and be like, ciao, bella. And like did the whole thing. But she's American, right?
That's ridiculous.
And then on the last day of filming, when her character was written out, she was like, by the way, I'm an American.
Yeah, I like owning up on the last day. Yeah. That's a good move.
Listen, Lottie, it's good to speak to you. Will you get back in touch when it happens again?
Yeah, of course I will.
Oh, thanks so much.
No worries, mate.
No worries, mate. Love you, bye. The Scott Mills Daily. Right, I want to say good luck if you are getting your Scottish Higher results tomorrow or National 4 and 5s, as I know that is tomorrow. A load of people will be stressing out about it. David's got to wait a bit longer for his, haven't you, David?
Hi, yeah, I do.
Why is that?
Well, you can get an email and a text that arrives at 9 o'clock on the morning of the results.
Which is tomorrow,
I forgot to sign up for them.
Oh.
So now I have to wait for the postman to arrive with the physical results, and he doesn't get in till like 12 or 1.
Old school.
I was wondering how you were getting them. Yeah, in my head there, I was like, how's it going to arrive? Pigeon? I don't know.
Telegram.
Written in the sky or something.
Yeah.
But no, you're going to get a letter?
Yep, old school.
So, and what time will that arrive, approx?
Between 12 and 1. So I'll be just sitting and panicking all morning.
Oh, I bet you've actually signed up for the email now.
I do. I completely forgot about it.
That's so rubbish. So what? Everyone's going to have their results before you?
Yeah, I'll just be sitting. You know when you're making cheesecake and...
No.
Like you've got... No. You know when you're making cheesecake and you've got to bash digestives? I feel like a digestive that's about to be bashed.
Well, that's the best analogy I've ever heard.
Thank you. That's so random.
Do you feel like the breadcrumbs, do you?
Yeah, I feel like some crumbs just about... I feel like a whole digestive that's about to become tiny because I'll be smacked over the head with exam results.
And who's Mary Berry?
Mary Berry is my invigilator.
Okay, yeah. And the exam results are the rolling pin?
Yeah, the exam results are the rolling pin. And
do you know what? I reckon you've smashed whatever this exam is, so don't worry.
I had 3, so I'm kind of just on tenterhooks.
David, with analogies like that, I know that you've got A+.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Where are you? You're in Hoyk, right?
I am. I'm in the Borders.
Okay, right. Good luck for tomorrow. And everyone else getting their Scottish Hires on National 4 and 5 tomorrow. Good luck. It's all going to be fine. Will you let us know tomorrow how it went when you eventually get them?
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Love you, bye. The Scott Mills Daily. Back tomorrow from 1 and at 1:45, it's Innuendo Bingo. Scott Mills, BBC Radio.